Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Tuesday, March 29th, day 17 of 9/11 on trial. I'm Lisa Giuliani, and you're watching Wing TV.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Every day we get lots of feedback from this show and from the things we're doing here on Wing TV. These little things that people tell us about really hearten us, that we like to hear. One person said that every time they send out a bill in the mail or they send a letter out or something, they always write, "Watch Wing TV" on the back and put the website on there. Another guy, he's a trucker. He said that whenever he's out on the road across the highway, picks up his CB radio, starts telling people to listen and watch Wing TV. So these are the kind of things that everyday people can do to get the word out, and we thank each and every one of you for doing that.
Today's testimony will revolve around gravity free fall, so let's join Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your Honor, today we have witness 13 who's going to speak about the gravity free fall of the World Trade Center Towers. Witness number 13, please state your name for the record.
Tara J. Blasingame.
And we'd like to thank you today. For question number one, please tell us, how quickly did the World Trade Center Towers fall to the ground?
The twin towers each fell at roughly the rate of freefall.
And what exactly does that mean?
They each fell at about the same speed that an object would if it were dropped from the roof.
And about how long would this take?
Depending on precisely what one defines as the complete fall of each tower, the average is approximately 10 to 13 seconds.
Now, when you say 10 to 13 seconds, why is there a discrepancy? Why can't we arrive in an exact time?
Well, due to the overwhelming amount of concrete dust that smothered the towers, it's difficult to tell precisely when the roof of each building touched the ground. A time of 10.4 seconds has been bandied about quite a bit as an average, but we'll settle for anywhere from 10 to 13 seconds.
Fair enough. While the buildings were falling, what was also happening at the same time?
Debris is being blown away from the buildings with an extremely powerful blast.
Okay, if there was absolutely no resistance whatsoever acting upon these towers, how long would it have taken them to fall to the ground?
An object in a vacuum would take 9.2 seconds to fall from the tower's height.
Well, you mentioned this figure. Is there a formula we can use to calculate and verify this figure?
Yes. The time required for an object to fall from the height in a vacuum is given by the formula T equals the square root, or 2 times H over G, where G is the acceleration due to gravity, 32.174 feet per square second.
Okay, with that in mind, please run us through this calculation.
Okay. The average height of the two towers is 1,365 feet, 1,368, and 1,362. So if we double that, we arrive at 2,730. Now, if we divide that number by the acceleration due to gravity, 32.174, we arrive at 84.85. Finally, the square root of 84.85 equals 9.211, or rounded off 9.2 seconds.
All right, very good. Very good for explaining that. So let's get this straight now. If the towers collapsed in a no-resistance, gravity-free fall, it would take them 9.2 seconds to reach the ground.
Correct.
And on the morning of 9/11, 2001, they took only 10 to 13 seconds to actually fall.
Correct.
So the difference between a gravity-free fall and the actual descent time is somewhere only between 1 to 3 seconds.
Correct.
Now, if it had taken each floor only 1 second to fall upon the one below it, what would have been the total elapsed collapse time?
Since each tower was 110 stories high, approximately 110 seconds.
Which is nearly 10 times longer than the actual collapse time.
Correct.
And for the towers to collapse, what would have had to have happened.
In regard to the South Tower, following the start of the collapse, the upper floors would have had to shatter the steel joints in all 85 or so floors at the lower levels. In order for the floor to fall, hundreds of joints had to be break at almost the same time, simultaneously, on 236 columns and 47 core columns.
All right, very well. Now, let's return to the collapse time of each tower. From what we've determined, there appears to be very little resistance acting upon these massive structures. Is that correct?
Yes.
But should there have been resistance?
Of course.
And what would have provided this resistance?
The twin towers were 110 stories high, and combined they contained 200,000 tons of steel, 425,000 cubic yards of concrete, and each tower weighed 500,000 tons.
Okay, now for those who don't know, how many pounds is 500,000 tons equivalent to?
1 billion.
1 billion pounds. Now, in your opinion, should a combined mass of 1 billion pounds provide resistance?
It should provide an enormous amount of resistance.
Very good. Is there anything else that should have provided resistance beyond the billion pounds of this structure itself?
Every floor of these 110-story structures was nearly an acre in size, and each of these floors undoubtedly held hundreds of computers, desks, cabinets, chairs, and other furniture. All of these items would have provided tons of resistance to a falling body.
But what did we find in regards to the resistance?
In just 10 seconds, 10 million feet of commercial office space simply ceased to exist. It was as if the entire building was falling straight down through the air, as if the entire structure, solid structure below the strong part, which had not been burned or sliced or harmed in any significant way, just disappeared into nothingness.
Okay, Tara, in your opinion, what is this reminiscent of?
This, within a small tolerance, is what we would expect to find if there had been a controlled demolition.
And why do you form this conclusion?
Because the explosion below left the upper stories completely unsupported.
Okay, should that part of the building below the impact points have provided resistance?
Yes. Gravitational acceleration cannot achieve its full effect if it is fighting any opposing force. In the case of the World Trade Center, the intact building below should have at least break the fall of the upper stories.
Did this happen?
This did not happen. There was no measurable friction at all. The only way a building can fall at free fall speed is for there to be no resistance at all.
Okay, now, does the reality of this situation adhere to the laws of science, specifically the laws of falling bodies that was postulated by Galileo?
No. This defies the laws of gravity.
Why?
Because there was resistance, and plenty of it. The resistance was the massive lower sections of the building that were stabilized by over 250 major interior and exterior steel columns and thousands of steel trusses.
Well, okay, with this in mind, could there be a problem with the scientific formulas being used in our calculations today?
Either the height of the building is inaccurate, the time of the falls is inaccurate, the scientific calculation that's been used for hundreds of years is inaccurate, or something pulled down those buildings at a faster rate.
Okay. From videotaped footage and from earlier testimony, we know that objects from within the towers were ejected outside the buildings as they collapsed. Did these falling objects encounter more, less, or the same amount of resistance as that of the falling towers?
Rubble falling through the towers encountered no more resistance than rubble falling through the air.
Now, does this scenario seem peculiar to you?
Eric Hunshid asked this question about objects inside the World Trade Center towers. How could debris crush 100 steel and concrete floors while falling as fast as objects falling through the air?
What does this mean?
You have stuff that's falling freely through the air outside the profile of the building, and stuff that's falling through where the building was. It's all falling at the same speed.
Well, what was providing resistance to those objects falling outside the building.
Air resistance was the only thing slowing the descent of the rubble outside the footprint.
And of course, what should have provided resistance inside the towers?
1,000 vertical feet of intact vertical structure would have been slowing the rubble inside the footprint, bearing demolition.
Okay, but what do we find in terms of resistance inside and outside of the towers?
Air resistance slowed the descent of the rubble outside the building's profile by about 50% compared to the rate of free fall in a vacuum. But over 1,000 vertical feet of intact structure did not slow the portions falling within the profile any more than air.
How do you know this?
This can be verified by examining the top of the North Tower's dust cloud, which is essentially the same height both inside and outside the building's profile.
Ultimately, what does this mean?
If air could slow down the fall of debris from 9.2 seconds to 14 seconds, say a 50% slowdown in the rate of fall because of air friction, how much more should the huge intact structures, the 1,000-foot vertical structure of these buildings, how much more should that have slowed down the fall of the rubble within the profile of the building? 100 times? 1,000 times? And yet it falls at about the same rate.
Well, being an expert witness, how do you interpret this as?
Clearly, again, the building was being demolished ahead of the falling rubble. They fell as though there were no floors below the collapsing section to pancake onto, as though there was no resistance to the progressive collapse, but air.
How is this possible?
The only way this is possible is if the floors were destroyed progressively, before the mass above them could meet their resistance.
Okay, did the floors above ever touch the ones below them?
Each floor was shattered before the debris above it was about to make contact.
And what does this mean?
The end result is that the debris never collided with the floors. Rather, all debris was in free fall.
Okay, I'm going to ask you again, how is this possible?
This is possible only if all structural support had been completely eliminated prior to the initiation of the collapse. Since the lower floors were undamaged by the plane impacts and the fires, and the removal of all the structural support in these floors must have been due to some other cause. Since steel structure should have provided hundreds, if not thousands, of times the resistance of air, it must have been demolished ahead of the falling mass.
With this in mind, what then can we conclude?
The towers fell in roughly 10 seconds. That is, they fell at about the same rate an object falls through air. The fact that towers fell this quickly, at that rate of free fall, is conclusive evidence that they were deliberately demolished.
Okay, now, when we hear your words, this is a bitter pill for many people to swallow. What would you say to these people?
Believing that there is nothing wrong with the towers collapsing so quickly is roughly
analogous?
The same to believing that people pass through closed doors as quickly as they pass through open ones. The fact that they fell at such a rate means that they encounter essentially no resistance from the supposedly undamaged parts of the structure. That is, no resistance was encountered from any of the immense strong parts of the structure that held the building for the last 30 years. This just doesn't happen, unless, of course, the lower part of the building has lost its structural integrity.
And how would a building lose its structural integrity?
This is usually due to the detonation of a multitude of small explosive charges as seen in controlled demolitions.
And how precisely, in your opinion, was this accomplished?
A few floors shattered during the first second, but the rate of disintegration did not hold steady. Rather, the number of floors shattering each second increased each and every second. The reason is that objects falling in gravity continuously increases in speed. So the explosives were detonated at an increasingly faster rate in order to stay ahead of the falling objects.
And this is ultimately why the lower sections provided no resistance to the upper portions?
Yes. The top section of the tower did not collide with the base. Rather, the explosive shattered it just before it would have made contact. The debris did not contact the base portion. Rather, the explosives were always staying a few microseconds ahead of it. Finally, the overhanging section cannot be seen falling down in photographs in one large chunk because it was shattered by explosives. Its debris fell down at the rate objects fall in gravity, but none of the debris can be seen in the photographs because the base was always a few microseconds ahead of the debris.
All right, before we get to our final question, I'd like to thank you for appearing in court today. My final question to you is, did the concrete dust create a smokescreen of sorts for this entire process to happen?
Somewhat. The steel beams fell much faster than the dust, so the steel beams were actually passing through the clouds of dust. However, new clouds were created at the same rate at which the debris was falling. Therefore, as soon as a steel beam fell below one particular cloud, it entered a new cloud that had just been created a few microseconds earlier. By the time it fell below that cloud, another cloud had been created below it. The end result was that all of the falling objects were always hidden by clouds of dust.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. No further questions.